greet you in the precious name of Jesus. Brother Leon prayed that our needs are met through the Word, and I appreciated that. That is so true. The Word is faithful, and it meets needs. We are not that way. We are frail beings, needy beings, and we cry out to God for help. And appreciated the devotions, both that we had, and the Sunday school lesson. I had to think of the joyful moment that Peter would have had there to present her alive. It would have been a picture that would have been interesting to see. See this woman just brought back to life, and Peter having the joy of presenting her to her friends and family. Certainly seek an interest in your prayers for the message. I don't feel like I have a lot. I pray that God will make it more, and it could be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you. You may open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. It's where our text will be from. Those of you that work in the retail trade know that the feelings of surprise or panic when a customer shows up too soon. Or maybe you thought they were coming tomorrow, and here they are. And he's looking for his deli food or his furniture or his vehicle. And you're not ready. He is here, and you're not ready. It's not a good feeling. Our stomach can go in a knot while we try to find a way out of our problem. Not ready. Well, that's important, to be ready when customer comes. Something that is far more important is to be ready when Jesus comes back. And that's the title of the message, is Be Ye Therefore Ready, taken from Luke chapter 12. Verse 40, be ye therefore ready. You know, as ministers of the gospel, we are interested in emphasizing things that Jesus emphasized. And this is one of the things that he emphasized very much, that we need to be watching and be ready, and that we're prone not to be ready, and that we will be prone to be off guard. Jesus emphasized this, and we would like to emphasize it this morning. And we'd like to think about some of the truths to help us to be ready. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48, we'd like to read at this time. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Simple teaching. I believe that we understand that we need to be reminded of, as in our busy life, that Jesus is coming back. And we need to be watching and we need to be prepared for that time. First thought is from the first verse there that we read, and that is to let your loins be girded about. What does that mean? Well, in the East, men were robed, and they had robes that were very, very full, and they needed to be tied at the belt, so the looseness did not hamper their movement and their work. So it was impossible to move quickly or freely without having that belt around them and tied. We can condense, I believe, those six words, let your loins be girded about, is personal preparation. Personal preparation. That's something that they needed to do. They needed to do themselves. Put that belt around to let their loins be girded so they could work, so they could be effective. And notice, too, that it is the word your. It's personal. You know, we need ourselves, we need to deal with what hampers us. We need to put that belt on to deal with what is limiting us in serving the Lord, limiting us in meeting the Lord when He comes. We think of purity of life and conduct. It's so important. We cannot underestimate that this morning. Purity of life and conduct. It's so important. What we expose ourselves to, what we read, the friends we have, the music we listen to, the places we go, the question that we need to ask ourselves, is this producing a pure life? Is this producing pure conduct? If it's not, we will not be prepared when Jesus comes. It's very important that we're honest with those questions. I think of James. A verse that I love is, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Brethren and sisters, it's not real complicated. That verse gave me a foundation when friends were losing their way into apostolic churches or into hallelujah, nothing else really matters but the heart, or having a testimony and speaking in tongues. That whole movement, pure religion and undefiled. It's to do, like our brethren have mentioned, something that's maybe not real popular, but because you love God, you go visit the fatherless. Because you love God, you visit the widows. And because you love God, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. That person is going to be ready to meet the Lord. And I believe that's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for us, for me. All the influence from the world and the pressure and this holiday season or whatever you want to call it Are we able to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? The influences and the covetousness. There's, if you look at this whole chapter here, there was what led up to this was somebody coming to Jesus and saying, "Well, Jesus, divide the inheritance between us. Speak to my brother that he divide his inheritance." And Jesus said, "Man, who made me judge or divider over you?" And then he went on to say, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Back then, there was no big block stores and Amazon and all the stuff that there is today. But Jesus emphasized that you want life, you want fulfillment in life, you want peace, you want joy. It's not in stuff. It's not in possessions. Let's be very careful that we're not spotted in the thinking of the world, lest we will not be ready for Jesus' return. The second thought is the second phrase there in verse 35, "and your light's burning." It's a very interesting verse. "Let your loins be girded about and your light's burning." This could refer to a few things. It can refer to serving and laboring for the Lord. The servant needed to keep the lights on. If he's going to keep working in the household, the lamps needed to be trimmed. They needed to be so they could work till their master returned. We need to keep the lights on if we're going to labor on. We all know that a workstation with poor lighting makes difficult work and maybe even some mistakes. I believe we could apply it that poor lighting in the kingdom, it could be that we forget the purpose of our efforts. We need to remember that it's for the master that's returning. We need to keep that in focus, that there is a real purpose in that. There's a master that is going to be coming back, and he will be looking at our work. And your light's burning. We need to embrace that truth and apply it to our daily life. The Anabaptists did that. It cost them their life for many of them because they chose to be non-resistant. They chose not to fight back. And they were burned at the stake. They would return good for evil. Can we connect those truths to us? Are we keeping our lights burning brightly? The Bible truths that we receive in our devotions, do we find a way to live them out the week through? It's a challenge that I leave to myself. Notice again, your light's burning. It's not our neighbor's lights. It's our light. We're very limited with how much what we can do with another person's light. The light that I control is my light. And Jesus is telling us to keep our lights burning. Thirdly, another help to help us to be prepared and ready is that they may open unto him immediately. That phrase in the bottom of verse 36, they may open unto him immediately. Jesus is using words we can understand. When we aren't ready, there's a delay. When we're guilty, there's a delay. We've got to get something fixed up quick. We don't want them to see this. Jesus' return will not give time for a quick cleanup. It was on Wednesday that my wife called and said, come up to the shop. There's someone waiting to see you. And it was the USDA inspector. thought, oh my, why does he need to pop in today? But that's how it is. USDA inspectors and OSHA inspectors and IRS, they don't have to give you a warning. They can, that's their liberty to stop in at any time and see what you're doing. But you know, with Jesus, when he returns, there will be no, even those stops, you might have a few minutes to quick make a few things, make a few changes before you give them a tour of your facility. But with Jesus' return, there'll be no time for quick cleanup. And that's why, brethren and sisters, it's important that we keep our relationship with God current today. And if you're being deceived this morning and not keeping your relationship current with God, it's a very strong possibility it'll be that way when Jesus returns, that you won't be current with God. We need to send our sins before. Have them resolved. Have them forgiven. And be right with God today. Fourthly, we need to remember the magnificent love of our Lord. Jesus' love for us, for mankind, is just hard to comprehend. To think about the journey of mankind, hundreds of years, thousands of years, and that Jesus' love has not been exhausted yet. That his love has not been exhausted for me. While you look at the journey and you can see a littering of disappointments. Times that Jesus would have hung his head. Not again. And yet, he continues to stretch out his hand in love. Think about Jesus, that he is there by the right hand of the Father. And he is anticipating taking his bride, the church, home. He wants a pure bride, an unspotted bride. This truth should motivate us to be personally prepared. To think about the love of Jesus, the love of God. And Jesus, again, he emphasized this. You think of the parable of the five foolish and the virgins and the five wise. It was, again, just another illustration. Be ready. Don't be lax. The five didn't take extra oil. And they were not prepared. They did not think ahead. They were foolish. It's in Matthew 25. Some of those, we read a few verses out of there. I'll just read verse 13. After Jesus, the parable of the virgins, then he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." That was the conclusion of that. That was the point, is be ready. You don't know when. But think about the love of God. Even in Luke chapter 12 here, I see the love of God referred to a number of times. In verse 7, Luke 12, "Even then, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And we have the verses from chapter 22 on of encouraging. This is words to the disciples. "And he said unto his disciples," and he encouraged them to trust God. Verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not. They spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith. In verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But I believe it should be a motivator to us as God's children, as His servants, to think about His love, His care for us, that we can trust Him with everything. He doesn't want us to live in fear and anxiety, and He will take care of us. I had to think of Dorcas, you know. What could have she started to fear next? Well, she was going to have to die again. She was going to have a second death. Not many people had that, but there's a sense where there was a negative to that, because then she was raised back to life, and again in the future she'd die again. When was that going to be? Well, we need to trust the future to God. He will give us the grace we need for every moment. And even for the day that we die, there will be grace for that moment. Fifthly, is finding joy in the so doing. Verse 38 mentions that. If you come in the second watch and come in the third watch and find them so. And verse 43, when he cometh and shall find so doing. Work can get monotonous. I'm touching a little bit what was already mentioned. I guess everything we've been sharing today is maybe tying together a little bit. Your work can be stressful. But Jesus' disciples could easily connect to the illustrations of servants and households. It was part of the environment that they lived in. Masters and servants. And a returning master. But having a master that you loved and you appreciated, a master that you shared values in and shared interests, would be very helpful and able to work for him and desire to please him. That knowledge of knowing that he will be pleased. Pleased that the floor is swept how he wants it swept. And that the thistles are being removed the way he wants them done. I believe that would make that servant. We have enough experience in our own life that, yeah, that gives a good feeling. That you know you're pleasing the person that you're working for. Connect that to us and Jesus. Jesus is our master. He has given us callings. They vary a lot in this group. From, as was mentioned, mothers, there's young people, there's singles, there's various responsibilities in church and school and home and work. But to find joy in the so doing, how repetition it is that we find joy in it. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The so doing may have been for a long time, years and years. But one time, one moment, the master will return. Then it will be over. It will be the last time to sweep the floor. It will be the last time to pull the thistle, because the master has returned. Helps for be ye therefore ready. Tell others about your master. Sixthly, notice that in verse 8 and 9. Pulling a few truths from some other verses in this chapter. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Some very strong verses there. A tremendous encouragement to us to be witnesses of Jesus. There's a promise there for us. We confess Jesus, and we're not ashamed as we're with unbelievers and those that obviously don't love God, and we speak for God. We say, hey, I'm a Christian. And testify for our Lord. Sometime that servant will, the Son of Man, will also confess before the angels of God. I believe almost every Christian has some opportunity to witness for his master, to exalt his master, and to say good things about his master. It can be in small ways to children, or there's just so many different ways, whether it's giving a tract or reminding someone of the beautiful day and what God has done. Tell others about your master. This season gives many opportunities for that. And I encourage you and challenge you. What's your plan? Do you have a plan? What's some phrases that you can prepare for and to say to others when you shop? To tell others about your master, the master that you're anticipating and looking forward to. Ask God what he has for you. Maybe you think you don't have many opportunities. Well, maybe there's some that you did not think about, and ask God to show them to you. Seventhly is embrace our master's promises. There's many promises that he has given to his servants while he's away. The one there in verse 8, of course, is just what I read. There's others. Verse 28, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that the servant will be blessed. In verse 37, there will be a reversal. That Jesus, the Master, will come back and he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Say, servants, I'm so pleased. Now it's your turn. Sit down, I will serve you. That's a promise to the servant. Maybe it's the weary servant. Maybe you are a weary servant this morning. Claim those promises. There is a blessing today, but there's some tremendous future blessings for the faithful servant. Eighthly, another help for us to be prepared for Jesus' return is take seriously the warning about thinking he's not coming yet. He's not coming yet. In our mind, we are all tempted to think that. At least I'm tempted to think that. Probably not just yet. There's a reason why Jesus emphasizes this. In verse 45, that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Yeah, where does that come from? I think it comes from Satan. He wants the Christians to think that Jesus isn't going to come back just yet. And that's going to last up until the day Jesus comes back. We think it won't be just yet. We need to really take a serious warning about that. Verse 40. It says, be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And I think about that. You know, what When is it that somehow even, this is to the disciples, this is to Christians, and somehow the Christians will think it just won't be at this time? I don't know why that is or when that is. Of course, there's other scriptures that say that it'll be like in the days of Noah. It'll be like in the days of Lot. They'll be eating and drinking. They'll be planting. They'll be marrying. There'll be a real normalcy. While we know there's going to be stresses in the world, there'll be also some normalcy. And there'll be people that will be washing clothes and hanging out clothes and cleaning their corn planter and doing a lot of normal things. The Bible says one will be taken and the other will be left. So it makes us conclude that the day before Jesus' return will be an ordinary day. We need to have that clear in our mind, that it will be just an ordinary day, just like yesterday, just like today. And the next day Jesus comes, we will not have any type of gut feeling or some type of huge thing that we think that, well, it could be just very soon that he's coming. So we need to target this in our own heart, to think that Jesus just probably won't come today. My Lord delayeth his coming. We need to correct that. We need to repent of the type of thinking. Believe that Jesus just will come. We need to believe in the imminent return. And in a moment, he will come. Ninthly, I believe we need to, what will help us to be ready when Jesus comes is to be anticipating and looking forward to Jesus coming. That we have our heart and our life in such order that we have an anticipation. That when we see the beautiful sunrise and the sun sets and the clouds, we think, wow, wouldn't that be nice if Jesus would just break through right and just take us home? We just need to be ready at all times. Anticipate and look forward to Jesus coming. My appeal to each one of us is to be ready. We do not know when, and it's good we do not know. The Bible teaches us to be ready. It's going to happen. Preachers have said this for a long, long time. Some have mocked this, but it's true. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Brethren, sisters, let's be ready so that there's not one missing, that we're all ready. Let's kneel for prayer.